Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
All right, guys, you can sit down. Thank you so much, Pastor Shannon. What an incredible opportunity. I do not take this lightly. And before I start, I do want to honor my wonderful husband. Oh my gosh, I cry all the time. For being the most releasing, encouraging, strong man. And I love you very much. And thank you very much for shaving off your mo. I did not love you very much in November. That was a time. Brighton and Anya are just thrilled to be at Big Night Church tonight, and they are holding on to every shred of hope that they might get a Happy Meal on the way home, which we have not promised them, but we will see. Anyway, I need to keep going. No more niceties and formalities. I believe that this is a word from the Lord for you, and I believe that it is no accident that you are in the room. And I have been praying for you. We've been praying for you as a team, for the Lord to encounter you wherever you find yourself at. And so we're going to read the Word of God. And every time we do, every single time we read the Holy Scriptures is an opportunity for us to be transformed if we let it. And so we're going to jump straight into Luke 24. And it's a story on the road to Emmaus. And so verse 13 says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked, they discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up along and walked with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. As they walked, Jesus asked them, 'What are you talking about? What's going on?' And they explained to Jesus, how he was a prophet and he was mighty in word and deed, and that he had been handed over and that he had been crucified. And now they don't really know. Nothing's really gone to plan, and it's been 3 days and he's still dead, and they don't really know what to make sense of the reports from the angels and the women, and this is where they find themselves. And then Jesus comes and he gently shares with them all the scriptures, all pointing to him, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And we'll pick it back up in verse 30 when it says, before that, they also went to Emmaus, and Jesus acted like he was going on, and they urged him to stay, and they went in. And then verse 30, it says, when he was at the table with him, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight, and they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' After that moment, they hurried straight back to Jerusalem and started testifying that the Lord indeed is risen. When he broke the bread, their eyes opened." Wow. Let's pray before we get into it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us tonight? That every single thing that you want come to pass, let it be done tonight. I take myself out of the equation, Lord, and I ask that you would speak to your people tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. The road to Emmaus is a pretty amazing story, right? Like, just for a moment, think about actually being there, one of those two. Well, we've got these two disciples, and they're walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from something pretty traumatic that's just happened, a really big disappointment. They're walking away from reports of the empty tomb. Things really did not go the way that they hoped for and prayed for. Their rabbi, their redeemer, the one who was going to change it all, he died a very public, very brutal death. It was really awful. And these guys were, rightly so, really confused, really discouraged, really sad. If that was me, I would be crying all the way to Emmaus. Anyone else? Anyway, these disciples, they'd seen some things. So they weren't part of the inner circle, but they were part of the larger group of disciples. So they most definitely heard Jesus preach and teach and perform miracles and heal the sick and cast out demons. And their faith would have risen. He's the one. He's the one. But now they're walking away from Jerusalem, discouraged, tired, walking away. And honestly, I'm sure most of us can relate to this. We've all been disappointed in some way or another. Some disappointments are bigger than others. Life can be really tough. Sometimes things are not nearly how they thought they should be, or life throws you a curveball and you're discouraged. Sometimes it's the little things, small regrets, missed opportunities, little griefs, they build up and they build up. And in the middle of all of that, we struggle to see Jesus clearly. Has anyone been there? Hands up. I sure have. And lucky for you, that's exactly who my sermon is for tonight. Anyone who's ever found themselves discouraged, anyone who's ever found themselves disappointment. So many of us, we love Jesus and we follow Jesus, but every now and then we just find ourselves in a space where things are a little bit foggy, we feel a little bit weighed down, and maybe we're not seeing him clearly in this situation we are walking through. But the really good news is he is right here with us. And the scripture tell us that in the midst of their disappointment, Jesus himself walks right beside them. Though they did not recognize him, or they were kept from recognizing him, and we'll come back to that in just a second. But lucky for us, we've got the scriptures to help us figure out how we got here and how we're going to get out of it. And so the title of my message tonight is, Do You See Jesus? So we've got some really discouraged disciples who we can all relate to. And then in verse 15, the most beautiful line, it says, Jesus himself drew near. He didn't wait for them to snap out of it or journey it through or process the whole thing, or in my case, verbally process the whole thing. They didn't wait for them to have themselves feel more spiritual or be in a good place with God. He didn't correct them from far away, but instead, the kindness of Jesus is on full display as Jesus draws near. And someone needs to hear this tonight. Jesus draws near to you. When you feel discouraged, when you feel sad, when you don't feel at your best, when things don't go your way, he doesn't draw back. That's what we do. Jesus actually draws near, just like he did with the disciples. He absolutely always meets us, and wherever we find ourselves, whatever road we are traveling on. So the question remains, why couldn't they see him? Like Jesus, right there walking, chatting with him, why couldn't they see him? Many scholars believe and think the reason is actually really simple, that Jesus withheld the really big mic drop bombshell moment of revelation from them till later on. And it wasn't to trick them or anything. It was actually really kind of Jesus. He wanted to walk with them in their disappointment, to let them talk it out, to help them see the much bigger story through the scripture before he revealed himself to them. And on top of that, the passage gives us actually three really human reasons as to why this would have happened that we can all relate to that I want to submit to you tonight. And so firstly, the reason they could not see the disciple is, the disciples couldn't see Jesus, is they didn't fully see who he was. So, in verse 19, it says, what things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. They called him a prophet, but he was so much more than that. A prophet is only scratching the surface of who he was, and he was so much more than actually they could even fathom at the time. Whenever our view of Jesus shrinks, and we see him as just a prophet, a teacher, an encourager, someone nice, or perhaps something a bit more peripheral rather than central in our lives, our King and our Savior, when that happens, our vision gets a little cloudy. We can't see the bigger picture, and we miss what he's really doing. And he can walk right past us, and we don't even recognize him. Have you done that before? Have you done that? Is there anywhere in your life where you have reduced Jesus to something smaller than he truly is? They didn't recognize Jesus because they couldn't fully see who he was. They also didn't recognize Jesus because they weren't expecting much power from him. So if we read in verse 21, it said, but we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They were expecting Jesus to come and fix everything in the way that they thought it needed to be fixed. Like kick out the Romans and put Israel back in power and glory. But Jesus had something way bigger on in mind. He was on assignment from God to redeem all of humanity and not just a moment in time back then. What God had in mind meant that you and I can now, 2,000 years later, be in right standing, redeemed, and relationship with God, which is so much bigger than they could even fathom. And when our expectations are small, we can miss the amazing things that He's already doing right in front of us. What about your expectations? Are you expecting something great from the Lord? Are you expecting greatness in your life for Jesus to do? They couldn't see Jesus because they didn't see who He fully was. They weren't expecting much power for them. And thirdly, they were slow to believe His promises. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken." We can all be a little slow to believe sometimes. Like, how many times do you need to hear the prophetic word about the thing that God has spoken to you about? Been there. These guys weren't bad Christians or bad disciples. They were tired, worn out, and discouraged. And it makes it really hard to recognize what God is doing right in front of us when we are focusing on ourselves and not lifting our eyes and seeing the bigger picture. Discouragement really can blur everything, and we need to lift our eyes. What has the Lord spoken over you that you need to actually believe? Put all that together and you've got a recipe for walking with Jesus without realizing He's right there in the thick of things with you, which we can all relate to. And as I've been sharing, maybe you've realized that you're not expecting that much of Him anymore, or maybe right now. Maybe you're not expecting Him to come and sit with you in the confusion and walk with you in your disappointment. Maybe you're not expecting His peace to reach into the chaos raging inside of your heart or in your life at the moment. Maybe you're just tired, years of prayers prayed, promises that feel slow. All of this can lead to us not seeing Jesus. And where we're heading as a church in this harvest season, we need believers who are seeing clearly. And discouraged disciples find it really hard to reach a discouraged world. So, how does Jesus help us start seeing again? Wow, I'm going to speed up. Hold on. Jesus. Sorry, I'm watching the time. Okay, Jesus opens their eyes, and He does this in two ways. He doesn't just give them one encounter. He gives them two. So He opens the Scriptures, hallelujah, and He talks them through Moses and all the prophets, and everything is pointing back to them. Imagine that Bible study. It was like 7 miles. It's like an hour and a half walk with Jesus, and He's explaining the whole entire Bible to them. And then something happens. Their hearts start burning within them. And that's what happens when we go to the Word. It burns, it refreshes, it enlightens, it purifies, it satisfies, it strengthens us. And we spend time in the Word, our heart starts to burn. And suddenly, He's not so distant anymore. He's right there. Secondly, He meets them at the table. Jesus reaches Emmaus and He acts like He's going further, but not really. It's not that He doesn't care. He wants to be invited in. Jesus will never force Himself into your life or into your line of sight for that matter. He always responds to our hunger and our invitation for Him to come into our lives. They urged Him in verse 30. When He was at the table with them, He took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. He breaks the bread and their eyes were opened. These two disciples did not recognize Jesus on the road, but the moment they lay down, invited Him in, sat at the table, everything changed. And it's the same for us. You can't receive what Jesus wants to give you if you don't sit down long enough with Him to receive it. So good. The Word opened their hearts. No, it's just the time. The Word opened... Thank you. I will take those 2 or 3 moments. Okay, so the Word, they sat at the table. The Scripture opened their hearts, burning hearts, and then being at the table with Jesus opened their eyes. And this is how the discouraged disciples became seeing disciples and everything changed. Hallelujah. And so how do we get the same in our lives? Firstly, we need to see Jesus for who he truly is. He is not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet, but he is the one true living God. And you need to lift your eyes. Whenever our view of Jesus shrinks, our vision gets cloudy. Secondly, expect him to move. Expect God to move in your life. Expect him to save. Expect him to show up. Expect him to use you. If our expectations are too small, we miss what he's doing right in front of us. We need to stay connected. You need to feed your soul on the Word of God, and you need to feed your soul at the table with Jesus. He reveals himself when he's welcomed. He reveals himself when he is invited in. And lastly, once we see, we go. The moment they saw Jesus, everything changed. They got up and went back to Jerusalem at once. Suggests such urgency. These two men, the same men that had just been walking away discouraged, turned right around and ran straight back to Jerusalem, starting to testify that the Lord indeed is risen. If we're truly going to reach the world around us this Christmas and beyond, truly reach a discouraged world, it starts with seeing Jesus, who he truly is. And so as I wrap up and come to a close, let me encourage you. When our eyes are open to Jesus, everything else falls into place. Our hearts burn, our faith grows, and our life starts pointing people to Jesus through his testimony. And I'm going to take those 2 minutes because I just want the Lord to speak to us for a moment. And so all over this place, wherever you are, I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I just want us to sit in contemplative silence for 30 seconds. It says in the psalm, "Search me, O God." So in this time, would you ask the Lord to show you the disappointments that you need to bring to him? Would you ask him to show you where you're not clearly seeing him? And will we all together make a commitment to see him for who he truly is? To lift our expectations, to expect him to move in great power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this gentle reminder that we need to lift our eyes and we need to see you for who you are, King Jesus. Father God, we know that you want to do great things in life, and I pray right now, Lord, that expectation would rise. All across this place, it's like we're dusting off books on a shelf. Would we pick them back up, open them up, let the expectation rise. Let's take hold of the promises. And I pray even right now that you would reveal yourself to people, wherever they find themselves at, whatever their road they're traveling on, would you reveal themselves to them by your Spirit? We thank you that you are a good, good Father that draws close. And we thank you, Father, that you encourage discouraged hearts right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.